Shalom, most precious saints of God. I'm Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries, and thanks for tuning in as we begin tonight with the pertinent news for us Bible believers. As was expected, the people of Crimea voted on Sunday to leave the Ukrainian government to join Russia. So today, even though not recognized by the United States, Putin signed a decree to add Crimea to the Russian map. More details need to be completed, but they are just formalities. But it is not finished by any means. And as I've said often, the New World Order elite have been anticipating a third world war for decades. They believe that out of chaos comes order. And that is what continues fomenting right now. And Russia is the willing partner. And make no mistake, our government is well aware. Obama and Putin might want you to think they are enemies, and granted, they probably don't really like each other, but they both answer to the same elite power. The commanding rich men of the earth is how Revelation 6 labels them, which is why John Kerry and others have been encouraging the Ukrainians to stand up against the Russians. And another puppet, John McCain, stated on Saturday that we should definitely provide long-term military assistance to the Ukrainians. Key word there, military. And Putin is not wasting any time by forcing the Ukrainian military out of Crimea. But he is meeting with such resistance. And today, a Ukrainian army officer was shot and killed. Now, let me remind you of what the elitist David Rockefeller said 20 years ago at a UN dinner in 1994, and I quote, "We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order." Anyhow, things are not quiet in the region, with Ukraine vowing it will fight to protect the Black Sea Peninsula, sparking fears that the two countries are indeed edging even closer to war, which would then, of course, draw on other nations. So I caution you, as most of you are already aware, to not believe everything the media tells you. They can only say what they are allowed to by those who understand the agenda. You know, Henry Kissinger once said, "It's not a matter of what is true, but rather what is perceived to be true." I can't believe that he actually said that, but he did. And as we are approaching the first blood moon of the Tetrad, let's be mindful of how in past Tetrads, like in 49 and 67, wars accompanied them both. Could the Ukraine be the start of World War III, or will it be in Israel? Because they continue to be hit with missiles from Gaza and from the north, as did happen again today in the Golan Heights, actually severely injuring four Israel soldiers. The IDF is responding, but this is not the way to conduct peace negotiations, which is really not going anywhere anyway. And yet Israel, for a third time, is expected to release still another 26 prisoners. I wonder what was accomplished when Palestinian leader Abbas and Obama met at the White House yesterday. One can only imagine. Oh, and that missing hijacked Malaysian plane, my thought is hiding in a hangar in Pakistan. And Israel is taking the possibility of a terrorist attack seriously by immobilizing air defenses and scrutinizing approaching civilian aircraft. So that's my take on the news. And tonight we begin a three-part series on the rapture with lots of scriptures. So hurry and call someone. Irrefutable evidence that his bride is leaving soon. Now, don't move that dial or your mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
to you, our friends. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live right here on WHKW 1220 Christian Radio. I'm John Bartlett, your co-host with our Bible teacher, the Reverend Sheila Crawford. And we pray you will be challenged by the next hour of Bible study to become a mature Christian believer in Yeshua, equipped to do any good work and be ready to give an intelligent answer to those who want to know more about the hope that's inside you. And that's our topic tonight, by the way, the blessed hope, the rapture. Abba, Father, we pray to you in the name of your only begotten Son, Yeshua. Thank you for another opportunity to teach your word to your people. We ask that your Holy Spirit makes these words alive in the hearts of all of our listeners. Please remember all those who talk to us, write to us, and email us with their requests for healing, salvation, for loved ones, and relief from oppressive situations. And we pray for Edie tonight that you hold her tight in your arms as she begins her new walk of faith in you, and that you wake your people up, parents especially, to the chilling reality of the reality of evil in this world, and especially this night, the night before Halloween, and that's the name we have chosen to call the deceptive face of the ancient Druid rite and the high holiday of Satan worshipers all over the world. Wake up, church. In the name of Yeshua, we say amen.
Amen. Shalom to all of you out there. Last time when we were on, we finished the five-part series on the fall festivals. It was a great 5 weeks. And I encourage you to go to our webpage and use the archived programs as your own personal Bible study. All you have to do is fast forward past the news on any of the programs to listen to a wealth of information. And each program is labeled and it's free. What more can you ask for? And if after listening you are blessed, please consider any donation which will help us to keep these meaty teachings, to say the least, on the air for your growth.
And Sheila, we covered so much, like God's real new year, the real one, the creation of the world and the creation of Adam, the days of awe that come between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Jesus' real birthday on the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's called the greatest of all feasts.
It is.
As a double fulfillment.
It does.
If I may, I'd like to take a little bit of time right here to shout out to some of our new listeners out there.
Mary, oh, great.
Marion Hudson and her daughter-in-law, Yvonne, who is visiting from Columbus, and Brad, and to my mother, Betty, who's listening in Eagle, Idaho, over the World Wide Web on WHKWradio.com.
Hi, Mama. Well, you know what? I do need to talk about something that's quite serious to begin with here. Mm-hmm. In Hebrews chapter 5, I think it's around verses 12 to 14, Paul admonishes these Hebrew believers by telling them that by now they should be teaching others the first basic principles of God. But they weren't growing, and instead were staying on milk instead of solid food. He goes on to say if they continue in this way, they would never be skilled in the word. They would stay a baby. So get on the meat, people, and make it a habit, and exercise your senses. And that brings the necessary discernment, especially needed today.
And, Sheila, I must say that when I'm out in other Christian circles, I do hear things like about, oh, she's way over my head or way too deep for me.
I heard that.
And I think they're just justifying their attitude to remain simple, and which then in turn encourages others, unfortunately, not to go deeper as well. And but that's exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do the opposite of that. We're supposed to go deeper.
That's right. I hear it so often, too. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, yeah, she's way over my head. Well, stop it. That's a lie of the devil.
There you go.
You know, in Jeremiah 29:13, it says, if you seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Go deeper. Again, the enemy just tells you, oh, you're not smart enough. But he is the liar of all liars. He even, I understand, has meetings with other demons, and they actually scheme on how to keep Christians out of the word. So the Christians can't grow, and when you don't grow, you don't desire the meat, but rather enjoy staying on milk and the tickling of one's ears kind of message. And I have to, you know, we say this often, Hosea 6:6, but it's really important. He said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than your burnt offerings. So in other words, more than all the things that you could do, all the good works and taking your next door neighbor to shopping and all that. Those are all good things. But he desires the knowledge of God more than any good works you could possibly do. And John, how do you get the knowledge of God? Only one way.
There is only one way, and that is to become a student of his word.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want to do, and that's my passion as far as my ministry goes, is to get people wanting meat of the word.
We want to encourage them to be disciples. Disciple actually means students, just another word for student. And before we get into more of tonight's teaching, which we've already taught a little bit here, any important news you have for us?
I do. There was an historic, rare October snowstorm that hit the Northeast this morning with snow and wind from eastern Massachusetts to Maine. In some areas, reporting up to 2 feet, by the way. And you know what? Israel, too, has been hit.
Really?
Not with snow.
Oh, okay.
Actually, missiles.
Mm.
35, actually, yesterday and today, with a few casualties and many injuries and much damage to buildings, including a school. And even though there was a ceasefire called from Egypt yesterday, the Islamic Jihad, which is a terrorist group controlled by Iran now, from Gaza, just refused to adhere to it and hit again today. And it's likely that more will continue and this will escalate. And again, just to make it clear, Iran wants to take the attention off of Syria. The uprising continues in Syria and many are killed. And he wants to actually stop. Apparently, there's this move of Hamas headquarters from Damascus to Cairo. There's this thing in the works that Hamas is actually going to move their headquarters to Cairo. I hear it's part of that deal to free Shalit from Israel.
But I thought they just released prisoners or terrorists.
I don't think it was just that. No.
Oh, there was more.
Yeah,
okay.
But I don't know why. I'm still trying to figure out why Israel would want Hamas out of Damascus.
Yeah, why would they? What could they benefit from that strategically? And, do they want to make rooms in their prisons or something?
Well, certainly have room in their prisons now. I don't know, but you know what? Nothing is never as it seems.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's a lot behind the scenes that you don't even know about. And I'm reminded of that scripture in Isaiah, I think it's 17, that talks about the destruction of Damascus.
Damascus, right. The oldest city in the world that has never been destroyed.
That's right. Now, I happen to believe that the Muslim Brotherhood want Assad out of Syria.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the United States pressured Israel into going along and making a deal to get Hamas out of Damascus so they can go in and take it.
Wow.
I know, there's a lot. It's hard to say, but a lot of stuff going on.
I can see that happening.
But the top-level Hamas desertion of Damascus would seriously undermine President Assad at a time when he needs all the help he can get against the popular uprising against him. It would also deprive Iran of a strong Palestinian asset under its control. The Israeli-Egyptian border north of Eilat, that's down at the south, is also on terror alert against this large jihad Islami cell, again, backed from Iran, standing by in Sinai for some weeks now, and I guess they're waiting for the chance for a multiple casualty and abduction attack since they know they can get away with
now
that.
Now they know that they can get away with abduction, and it's resulted in all their terrorists being freed.
Yeah, but I believe in Syria and President Assad, like Gaddafi, will be taken out as well to allow the Muslim Brotherhood that now goes by the name the Freedom Justice Party to gain their foothold in Syria as well, to continue on with the Middle East. Really, it's what's happening.
So, that's
and
interesting.
And it's been fast. It's all this year. I mean, the changes in the Middle East are amazing when you look at it.
I've seen people that don't even know the Lord tell me that.
Oh, yeah.
They've said, I've seen dictators deposed in this last 2 weeks than I have, you know, all throughout the 40 years or 50 years that I've been following history. And so you think that we're going to go in there? The United States or the UN is going to go in there and hit Damascus?
Assad is going to be taken out, and it probably will be Damascus because the Bible says it'll be in ruins.
We can be taken out like Gaddafi.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and then we were behind that. We were involved in that.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting now that, you know, we can't waterboard or anything for information because it's torture, but...
Oh, that's terrible torture.
That's terrible torture, but now we can just kill them.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other topic.
I know. It's kind of like Chicago tactics. Isn't that how the Godfather did things?
Oh, I think so, too, with a horse head thrown in here or there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, well, anyhow...
About the revolt in Syria.
Okay, well, I don't know if people know that the revolt in Syria was supposedly the result of just a few kids, and I would say probably encouraged by some unknown agitators, but just a few kids wrote graffiti criticizing the government, and because of that they were arrested and tortured in prison, and because of that it caused people to uprise.
Okay, that was the spark that set the thing off.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, to no surprise to me, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood are organizing and helping the uprise succeed.
Mm-hmm.
John, did you know, and this is according to the Jihad Watch, that President Obama's own father was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood for 30 years, and that Obama has at least 3 high-level Muslim Brotherhood members working for him right now?
Whoa.
Mm.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today's protests and the Arab Spring in the Middle East, I believe, are all a planned manipulation to take over America.
Really? Do you think Occupy Wall Street has anything?
Yes, I do. It's all planned. It's planned manipulation. They need a crisis. There's been some that have actually been interviewed who admitted that they were paid to help create a crisis. No, there's so much going on that we're not going to take the time now because we've got Bible stuff to talk about.
That's right. But that is an old time.
That's in charge. It's okay if this is the way it has to be to get to the world government that it's happening, then that's fine.
That's fine with me, too.
You know, I trust God totally.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, there is an African nations push to create the United States of Africa. And, by the way, I didn't know this, but it's been going on since the 1960s. And there are those who believe that President Obama really wants to be the head of this. Of course, when he's done with America, after he destroys us. But Gaddafi, who was assassinated, as you know, was the known pick to run this 55-state confederation, an emerging superpower. About last year, I guess they told him that he was going to be picked to be the president of the United States of Africa.
Of Africa.
But you see, somebody else wanted that job?
Apparently so.
Do I need to say more?
Nope.
No, okay.
Nope.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit. As I reported last month in September, the U.N. Security Council, which is one of the principal organs of the United Nations, and it's charged with the maintenance of international peace and security. Do you remember how many members there were?
5?
No, 15.
Oh, I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah, you're thinking of how many can veto.
Yes, there we go.
15 members, 5 can veto. Now, if you recall, the Palestinians issued a resolution back in September to the United Nations Security Council to create a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital. However, the United Nations Security Council decided to wait a while. I guess they weren't ready for the unrest that it would probably spark.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, let's wait a while before voting on this issue. I think they were also hoping that there would be a peace agreement, which Obama told them there would be. Well, that didn't work. But now they say in 2 weeks that they're going to have a vote. And as I said last month, 9 votes from the 15 members are required for passage. Now, here's the thing. 8 nations have already declared their intentions to approve the measure. Heavy diplomatic pressure is being put on the remaining undecided members for their votes, which would make it the 9th vote, just 1 out of 3.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Obama administration has said that it will veto the measure if it reaches the 9-vote threshold, blocking it from taking effect. But this would indeed trigger a massive wave of violence from Palestinian terrorist groups like Hamas and Hezbollah against Israel, as I said last time.
Hmm.
Now, Iran's kind of hoping it might happen and has provided hundreds of millions of dollars worth of missiles, rockets, guns, and military training to their terrorist friends to use against Israel when needed.
Yeah. Okay, just a question here. Who's putting the diplomatic pressure on these undecided nations?
Probably the Muslim Brotherhood is part of that.
Okay.
You know, and...
Just a question there. Hey, listen, I got to remind everybody, we'll be back on the air next Sunday, a little earlier, 6 p.m., and to further comment on this situation. But now, can you tell us who are the countries that have this veto power that could actually...
Oh, the five?
Yeah, the five. Yeah.
France, Russia, the United States, China, and the U.K.
Okay, now do you know who already have stated that they would vote for a Palestinian state?
I do, and I thought you might ask that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Russia, China, Brazil, India, South Africa, Nigeria, Lebanon, and Gabon.
Okay.
And since I know you will ask, the nations who would vote against a Palestinian state so far, the United States, Great Britain, France, and Germany.
Hmm.
Now, if you've done your math, that leaves three
mm-hmm.
who are presently undecided, as I've already said, and that can turn the tide for or against the Palestinian state. And they are Colombia, Portugal, and Bosnia. One of those three.
Wow. Is there any diplomatic pressure being put on those?
I'm sure there is.
That's probably. So what you're saying then is if Palestinians can get just one of these three undecided countries to vote for a Palestinian state, then we'd have to veto?
We would.
Yeah. But will he, will he really do that?
Will he? Well, I think he always has to.
Hmm.
Or be impeached or something. But again, maybe they'll just delay voting. I don't know exactly.
Well, you know, and every time this stuff gets delayed, it seems like it just makes the Middle East hotter and hotter.
Oh.
Angrier and angrier.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of like sitting back and waiting to see what's going to happen.
That's right.
And listeners, if you have a question about the end times, you can always call us. Our phone number here at the station is 888-877-WORD. Got that?
If you have not made the real Jesus Lord of your life, do it quickly. If you want to be a part of the future kingdom ruled by our King Yeshua.
Well, Sheila, you mentioned that last time, but can you just explain again what you mean by the real Jesus?
Oh, yeah, of course I can. You know, Paul, in the very beginning of his first letter to the Corinthians, they were a little carnal, you know, but Paul said, be sure that you are accepting the real thing and not a counterfeit or a different or another Jesus. And actually, he was accusing them of what we would actually call tolerance today. It's a lot of tolerance today. But he says, and I quote here, he says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, I'm afraid that you would put up with it. In other words, you'll just tolerate it.
Wow.
And that's what we're seeing today, okay. Big time.
Big time. It's not the real Jesus that we're...
And I wrote about it.
And right, and I don't think you're putting up with it. You can check out the newsletters that we have up on the website, shofarministries.net. On this topic, Sheila goes into detail about cults and false religions. And it's a great article. Be sure to read it. And you don't have internet, that's no problem. Just send Sheila a note, and she will send it to you. And actually, she'll come to your house and give it to you. No, she won't personally. She will send it to you, and she'll send you one every month through the mail, U.S. Postal, for any donation to help this ministry stay on the air. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
And just a reminder, we'll be opening the lines later in the hour for your questions on this topic and the end times, 1-888-877 Word. And, by the way, Sheila, let's remind our listeners, we meet for Shofar Assembly on the first Friday of every month. And, of course, next is this coming Friday, November 4th, at Chester Christian Center. Beautiful Chester Christian Center, you might add, too. It's a nice place. It's at located 11815. That's 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306 in Chesterland. Starts at 7 p.m. And then we'll be back here again next Sunday at the different time, of course, 6 p.m. earlier, right?
Yes, earlier.
And does everyone know how to get there? Well, hey.
Where?
If you need directions. if you need directions, again, Sheila will come right to your house, and she will drive and say, you follow me. No, just call her, and she will give you her number, by the way, I'm allowed to give it out, is 440-834-9006, or you can email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net. She'd be happy to give you directions. Or maybe you'd like to ask a question through regular mail or perhaps through email. Or just give us a love offering to keep the program on the air. And you can just mail that if you want to Box 513. That's Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021.
And you know what? If you forget the box number, you just put Shofar Ministries, Burton, Ohio. I'll get it.
Yes.
We're a small town.
How about that? We are small. Or else we're... You didn't have to say that. You could say we're a real big ministry. But we're not. We're just
no,
a little small ministry.
Small.
Yeah.
That's how God wants it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We're going to have to take a break, John.
Okay. Before we do, I just want to mention that Shofar Ministries is a 501c3, and all tax donations are tax deductible and extremely important and vital to this Hebraic roots ministry. You can use PayPal on our web or just send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email address as well if you have one. Be sure to check out the webpage. All newsletters and previous radio shows are archived. DVD teachings are also available, and they make a great gift. So stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour Live. We'll be back right after a short break and a great song and a great segue into our next teaching of the rapture when the saints go marching in. Stay with us.
Stay with us.
The Dublin Gospel Choir, all the way from Ireland. And once again, the lines are now open. The numbers for your end time question is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673.
Call us. Word. Tell us why you don't think there's a rapture. I can talk to you about that.
Yeah. Or tell us if you think we're completely crazy. But, you know, we would rather risk that if there was a chance that when we leave in a rapture that you would see that the crazy ones would be gone and you'll go, oh.
Well, it's not only that, John. It's the comfort that you get knowing that he's going to take us.
Yeah.
I mean, the world is getting pretty bad out there.
It is, and not as bad as what's described in the book of tribulation in the book of Revelation, but it can. No.
Right. Amen.
I don't want to be there. We're not called to be there. We're not the children of wrath.
And we're going to give you lots of proofs in the next couple weeks to... that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And again, remember that you can always email me with your questions. I'll talk about it next week. We'll be here next Sunday.
That's right.
Anything at all, just let me know.
Yep. And our next Shofar Ministries Hour will be next Sunday. That's November 6th at a new time of 6 p.m. And if you want to be on the mailing list again, just send your request to Sheila@shofarministries.net.
That's right. As you know, we have to do special programs when we can afford to do so.
Right.
So we have to take what's available, and that's why we're on different times. If you're out there and you want to bless us with maybe helping to sponsor us to be on more often, we will be very happy about that.
Yes, we will.
In the meantime, we'll have to continue the way we are.
And God has been faithful to provide for us the time slots and
that
everything.
We can get,
and
yes.
Thank you for following us around, too.
Yes, I hear that. They'll call me and they'll say, well, what are you on next week? Or what are you on in 2 weeks?
Yeah, well, thank you for doing that. That you would, you know, that means you really care and you're listening and you're learning something and you're growing closer to the Lord.
That's right.
Right.
And the other advantage, of course, is that all our programs are archived on my webpage.
That's right.
And they're all titled. They're free. You can go there anytime you want to.
Yes.
Even if you don't have the internet, you can go to the library. It's not impossible.
Yeah, it's not impossible. And they have headphones at the library.
That's right.
As opposed to other places you might go.
That's right. Take advantage, because we are living in rough days, but we're also living in very good days if you take advantage of the technology that God allows Christians to use.
Right.
It's helped me grow immensely.
It has, and I know you do a lot of research using technology.
And studying.
And there's a lot of reference books now available on
Well, my best mentors are actually on tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I get their CDs. I used to just get tapes, you know, the old-fashioned kind, but now it's CDs. But That's where I learned most of my information.
And having mentors is a good thing.
Yeah, you do need some. So, all right, let's get going with this.
Yeah.
Now, let me just point out some points to you, John, and tell me what you think here. Actually, there are no passages in either the Old Testament or the New Testament that say the church will go through the times of Jacob's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, Jeremiah 37 calls it Jacob's trouble.
The time of unbelieving Israel's trouble.
That's right.
Right? Okay.
That's right. But it is never called the time of the church's trouble.
Are you hearing what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Oh, we're sorry. We're hearing things. Again.
We're looking at each other, listening to somebody speak.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I think
it's in our headphones. It's not in our heads. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. As long as it wasn't in our heads, it was in our headphones.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about. So anyway, it's not called church's trouble. It's Jacob's trouble.
It's Jacob's trouble. This is that's describing Israel.
Right. That's just one point. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about another point. Gabriel told Daniel in the book of Daniel that 70 weeks or 490 years were determined upon his people, the Jews, and upon the holy city of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
You can read about that in Daniel 9:24.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is no mention of the church. The church had no part in the first 69 weeks or 483 years until Jesus came, and it will have no part in the 70th week, which is the tribulation period, which begins as soon as the church's interlude in this prophecy concludes. We were taken away.
Hmm.
Now, again, 490 years were determined upon the people, and they had a prophecy.
Right.
That prophecy was stopped when Jesus came at 483 years. Had they have accepted Jesus, then it would have continued. But they did not, and so the church was birthed.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is an interlude before the finishing of that last 7 years.
I see.
And we have to leave for that to start again, because we weren't here for the first part.
Right. Well, we were. The church wasn't there.
And we're not going to be here for the last seven. This is a Jewish prophecy.
Right.
It has to be finished.
Right.
Now, this is a little deep for people.
It is.
But this is one of the reasons why, and I've studied this for 20 years, just one of the pieces of the puzzle.
And if you have a hard time, you know, wrapping your mind around it like I do sometimes, when it says, when you're reading in your Bible and it says in Daniel 70 weeks, and we're telling you that's 490 years, you've got to understand that we've done our homework. And Sheila, can you? I want to explain.
Yeah.
Can you explain?
It's
not
Shabbat. It's a period of seven.
It's a period of seven. It could be a period of seven anythings. Could it not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It can.
Yeah. Okay. So that's how we get the 490 years, and then you have worked this out before that it works out to the time that the first what did you say 483?
Yes.
And then it works out to the day, I guess.
It did. It did when Jesus came in and actually died. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It came to exactly the day that it was prophesied.
Prophesied. Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Right.
So basically, this is why the temple will be rebuilt, and the Jewish customs of the first century will be reinstated.
Mm.
All right. Another point in the Book of Revelation, the rapture occurs at Revelation 4:1. Which is before the tribulation period described as starting in Revelation 6. And that's when the seals are opened by Christ in heaven. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 5.
Okay. So in the sequence of events, the rapture is before the seal.
Judgment.
It's the seal judgments, yeah.
That's right, it
mm-hmm.
is. Now, the church is mentioned more than 20 times in the first three chapters of Revelation. Now, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
But the church is never mentioned again until we return as his wife in Revelation 19. Now, right there, he's got to tell you that we leave.
Well, where did we go?
That's right. After the third chapter, the churches are no longer here. Chapter 4 begins with us going up to heaven with the rapture, and then the tribulation will begin down on earth in chapter 6.
Wow.
It's very plain. It really is not difficult. And, you know, I take the Bible as literal as possible whenever possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, let's talk about another fact. Now, this is similar to what we just said about being mentioned in the first three chapters of Revelation, but never after that until Revelation 19, which, by the way, then we're called his wife. So a marriage must have taken place.
Does it say in some Bibles his, not his wife, I think I have one translation that says
bride.
His bride.
Yeah, they're wrong.
Yeah,
I looked in the original Greek, and it is definitely wife.
See?
Revelation 19:7.
There you go. That's why she gets the big bucks.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. I love that. Okay, but this is similar. In the seven letters to the seven churches, again, this is the first three chapters of Revelation, Jesus says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Okay, now he says that seven times, and if you want, I'll even tell you the scriptures. Revelation 2, 7, 11, 17, 29, Revelation 3, 6, 13, and 22. I feel I can hurry through that because you can listen to it on the tape later, or on the CD or whatever. Now, when we get to the tribulation period, Jesus said, "If any man have an ear, let him hear." Now, that's in Revelation 13, 9. Isn't it amazing? Well, John, what do you think is different about that?
From what he said in to the letters to the churches?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said to the churches, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." But here he just says, "If any man have an ear, let him hear." He doesn't even mention churches.
Right.
Okay. He left out what the Spirit says unto the churches.
That's right.
And that's because there's no church. There's no churches on the earth to go through the tribulation period. Check it out. The church will be in heaven.
Right. If we were still here on earth, why wouldn't he have said that?
Well, yeah. Okay. We're you're getting a message from above? No, it's coming through your headphones. Okay. Sheila, you said you started in the book of Revelation. You read the Bible backwards. And you said that the rapture, the teaching of the rapture actually led you to a closer walk or recommitting your life to
the
Lord.
Actually, it brought me to salvation.
It brought you to salvation.
Absolutely. Yeah. I decided that. I had never heard that before, raised a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, wow, if this is true, I don't want to miss it.
That's interesting. Is that what led you to studying Revelation first or starting in Revelation?
I pretty much did, yes. I actually did it very heavily then later on after I decided to commit my life further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a couple of different commitments. You commit your life to the Lord, and then you still have one foot in the world, you know, that type of thing.
Oh, sure.
When I had finally decided to give it my all, that's when I thoroughly exegesed the book of Revelation.
Wow.
Yeah. And that took me into all the rest of the Bible anyway.
Of course, because it's linked to all the rest of the Bible.
That's right. But I believe that I had at least find out about the rapture to find out if what he was telling me was true. So I started doing some homework, and I realized that, oh, my gosh, yeah, it is true.
Yeah.
There is going to be a rapture.
And we're not saying that. We're not trying to scare anybody into, you know, accepting Jesus as their Savior. This is just plainly what the Bible teaches.
It's plain.
Yes, it is.
And we'll talk more about that in a few minutes, but you would actually have to remove scriptures out of the Bible to deny a rapture.
You would?
Really would. And that's definitely against God's law.
Yes, that is.
Yeah.
You'll have to tell us what those scriptures are someday. Of course, I think I know a few of them.
Okay. Yeah. Another point. The tribulation period is called a day of wrath in Zephaniah 1:15, actually. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says, "God hath not appointed us to wrath." And in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, Paul says, "Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come."
That's comforting.
It really is. I mean, it's right there. It's called the day of wrath. God has not appointed us to wrath. What more do you need?
It's pretty obvious when he says wrath to come that this wrath hasn't been seen yet.
That's right. That's right. It's only going to be one big one there.
Yeah. Hey. Okay. That isn't meant for us.
No. The wrath of God is not meant for us. Now, the tribulation period, again, begins the day of the Lord and comes as a thief in the night. For when they,
the unbelievers,
shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them,
upon the unbelievers,
as travail upon a woman with child, and they,
the unbelievers,
shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2, and 3. It clearly teaches that the tribulation period will come upon unbelievers. It does not include believers. You know, and people get that mixed up. They say, oh, well, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, so therefore you can't know. Well, let me tell you something. He comes as a thief in the night, but it's to the unbelievers.
Believers.
And if you read it in context, it's very plain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can know. Maybe not the exact day or hour, but certainly around the time. And I believe that's very soon.
I think it is, too.
Now, in Luke 21:36, Jesus himself tells us to pray that we will escape it.
Oh, that prayer is to receive him in your heart.
That's right. That's the prayer he wants you to pray, so that you will escape. And it seems unreasonable to believe that Jesus would tell the church to pray for something he is unwilling to grant.
That's true.
You know, and he didn't say, pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to endure these things that shall come to pass.
Well, okay. So we're to pray that, hey, we want to be counted worthy so we don't have to go through these things.
That's right. And how do we become worthy?
By getting saved.
That's right. So if you're out there and you're not saved, or you think you're saved, but maybe you're not living the way you should, you better get it right.
Got to remind you, if you have not received the Lord as your Savior, you can do so at any time, and just trust in Him. You don't need you need to confess that you are a sinner. Admit, that just means admit that you are a sinner and turn from your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Go the other way. Stop going down. Start going up. And trust that the Lord Jesus will show you and be with you and save you, and He'll reveal Himself to you and give you a hunger for His Word.
Oh, yes.
And you will be on your way to heaven. Because, folks, there is a hell, and as much as it's not preached these days, it needs to be, but there is a real hell.
That's right.
And it's separation from God, and it's a place of torment. We don't have to get real specific, but it's a place that nobody really wants to be. We can say that we want to be with all our friends in hell,
you
know, or stuff.
Before,
you heard that before? But you don't really want to be there, because it's Jesus said, you know, there's smoke ascends forever. It's an unquenchable thirst. You know, for one drop of water, rich man was begging Lazarus in the parable for one drop of water. And then some Bible teachers say that isn't even a parable. Jesus was talking about a real incidence of a man going to hell and a man going to heaven. And they cannot, the two cannot, there's a bridge, there's a gulf between them, and hell's dry, and there's no water, and it's hot. And it's not funny, but right now we're just having a little technical difficulty, but I'm sure we'll get through it.
Yes, I'm sure we will. All right.
So make that choice now. You can make it now.
That's right.
We pray that you do.
Now, after explaining the catching away, Paul says to comfort one another with these words. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. There's no comfort in the teaching that the church will go through any of the tribulation periods.
Oh, yeah. Why would we want to comfort ourselves, right? Doesn't Zechariah describe flesh falling off bodies and eyes dissolving in their sockets or melting away in their sockets?
I know. Oh, my. All right.
That's not anything we need to go through.
No. Jesus told the church of Philadelphia now, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you.
And that's us.
From the hour of temptation.
Mm.
And that's just
that's the tribulation.
Idiom.
Is that an idiom for the tribulation period, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Which shall come upon the whole world to try them. Who's them?
The unrighteous.
That's right. That dwell upon the earth. Now, I looked at the word dwell, and the Greek word is katakeo, and it means to house permanently. Number 2730 in the Strong's. So that's not us. That's them that dwell on the earth. They're the unrighteous.
Wow.
Revelation 3:10. God promised to keep the body of Christ out of the tribulation period, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
I believe so. Now, The 144,000 Israelites, that's a different story. They're going to be hidden here on earth and protected. But it's God's desire that his bride, Jesus' bride, go to the Father's house, as is custom of a Jewish wedding.
Yeah, I know you're going to talk more about that next week, right?
That's right. There's different groups of people that are going to be here during the tribulation.
Right.
We are leaving. There'll be the 144,000 that will be staying. They will have a double anointing.
Like Elijah or Elisha?
The double anointing. Elisha. And they will be the ones that take our place as far as giving the gospel out.
Yes, and it'll only take 144,000 of them. That's amazing. That doesn't mean that's the only Jews that will be saved, but
no, and it's not.
They're the ones that won't be harmed. But it's interesting that it'll only take 144,000, and they will be able to, I'm convinced, evangelize the whole world.
Yeah,
I think they'll be that powerful.
I think that's a lot of Pauls running around.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think it's a lot of Moseses. I think it's a lot of Moseses. My wife seems to think it's a lot of Ray Comforts
running
around.
Too, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes.
Now, in the rapture, when Jesus comes for his church, you can read about that in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, and John 14, 3. He comes for his church, but when he comes at the end of the tribulation, he comes with his saints. 1 Thessalonians 3, 13. Also, we are referred to as his wife.
And where's that again, Sheila?
In
Revelation 19:14.
Or 7, actually.
Or 19:7. Okay, so with the saints that are, I guess, we're marching in, according to the song.
Yeah, I like that. That was perfect.
Yeah, we're marching in with the saints, and we're going to be his wife.
Yeah.
So
that's what it says.
That's what it says.
Again, prophecy is like a big puzzle, and you have to put the pieces all together. You have to connect the dots. And if a piece doesn't fit, you have to throw it out. And I'll tell you what, a mid-trib rapture or a post-trib rapture doesn't fit the rest of the Bible. It just doesn't.
Well, it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't. And we've talked about that, and we have shows on that archive, just on that point alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, there are verses of Scripture that say things like, and here's what we already talked about, mm-hmm. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish from it. And you can read about that in Proverbs 4, Deuteronomy 4, Proverbs 30, and Revelation 22.
Okay, you would have to throw away a lot of verses of Scripture to believe the church will go through the tribulation period. So that's why we have this big can over here full of stuff that doesn't work, and the stuff that doesn't work is mid-trib rapture, or we go through the rapture.
Goes in the can.
And every once in a while, we empty the recycle bin.
That's what you can do. Here's the other thing. If the rapture takes place at the end of the tribulation, remember this. All the righteous are taken up, and all the wicked are removed from the earth at that time.
All the wicked are removed?
Well, it's what it says.
Okay.
You know, they're thrown into the lake of fire.
If
all the righteous are taken up at the rapture, if it's at the end of the tribulation, and all the wicked are removed, there'll be no one left to go into the millennial kingdom except the 144,000, and is that enough to repopulate? I don't know.
Is it?
Oh, you know what? There wouldn't be 144,000 because they're all saved.
Yeah.
So they'd go in the rapture, too. There wouldn't be anybody.
Yeah, so that doesn't work either, right? Or does it?
No, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
I almost forgot about that.
Yeah.
They'll be saved, and so they would go in the rapture also.
Yeah, that's right. That doesn't make sense at all.
No, it's just not God's plan.
It's not God. You know, how could he have a sheep and goat judgment, you know, with the goat on the left and the sheep
that's
on
right.
the right, you know, without any sheep? You got to have sheep
they
there,
would,
right?
Would have been taken up in the rapture the chapter before.
Well, yeah.
You know? So, again, it just doesn't always make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I know for a fact that an angel didn't come down to reveal this to you. You learned this just by studying.
That's right, just by studying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And also, a mid or post-rapture destroys eminency of Christ calling us up at any time.
Oh.
You know, because once we're in the tribulation, we'd kind of know when things were, at least I would.
Oh, yeah.
What's happening.
Oh, that's true.
So, And next week, though, we're going to do a lot because we're going to actually get into 2 Thessalonians 2 and cover the whole chapter next time. There's a lot of stuff there, a lot of meat.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Mark 13, and we're going to talk about a lot of scriptures in the Old Testament as well.
About?
The rapture.
Did you know that the rapture is in the Old Testament?
I did.
Yeah, you did.
But nobody knows that, do they?
No,
well, not too many.
Not too many people.
But there's definite references to the fact that there's a tribulation coming, Jacob's trouble, and there'll be those that will not be here for it.
And when has the Bible been wrong in any of these prophecies?
Never.
Mm-hmm. So we can count on it to be right on these.
And if someone says it's wrong, it's because they've interpreted it wrong.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, good show, huh?
Good show,
on the rapture. I love this. My favorite subject.
It is.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we'll be able to talk to it next week. I just want to remind people that if you have a specific question and you want me to answer it on the air, I will be glad to do so.
And we have a caller.
Can you read that?
Can I read that? I don't know. Do we have a caller? It says, would you comment on the people
who believe that Obama is the Antichrist?
Well, we don't believe he's the Antichrist.
I don't know who he is anymore.
I don't know really who he is.
If you could tell me for sure where he was born, I might reconsider.
Yeah. Are you a birther? I don't know. I'm not. I'm a truther.
Oh, I just know that he's just doing a lot of evil things, and I look at Israel, and I'm very, very sad. And, yeah, a lot of people think that he could be, and again, it depends on where he was born. I don't know.
I don't know, but I'll say that I don't think so at all.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think so at all, but he's a good reminder of what kind of person to be looking for.
That's true.
Or what kind of world leader to look for. Now, again, if you've never made Jesus Lord over your life, or maybe you're just concerned, you might be one of those who only have the head knowledge but not really the heart conviction. Or you think because your parents are in the ministry or your father's a pastor that you can get to heaven. Well, you can't that way. You have to get on your knees. You have to repent. And you have to ask Jesus into your heart, and then trust and recommit your body, soul, and spirit to him. Trust him. He's Yeshua, the Messiah of all, Jew, Gentile, everyone. But it's always your choice to choose him, making it your decision where you spend eternity. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where you will go when you die.
It's your choice.
And that's right. The soul never dies, right?
That's right.
It has to go somewhere. There's only two places, with God or with Satan. You decide. God says, choose life. Choose his son, Jesus. Okay? You have a question for Sheila, or you would like her to speak at your church group, you may email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And just a reminder, we'll be back here on October 5th. No, that's wrong. We'll be back here when? November. We got the wrong.
Next Sunday at 6.
Thank you. Well, let's see.
Well, that's today, October 30th.
Yeah, that is. Okay, well, we're going to go with the Aaronic blessing here.
Let's do it.
Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us again next Sunday, November 6th at 6 p.m.